Good morning. Break in here. Morning, everyone. It's just lovely to hear the chatter at the start of a service of worship to our wonderful God on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning as well. So it's my pleasure to welcome you all to our service today. If you happen to be visiting with us, you're also very welcome. I'd also say hello to those folks here in solid ground as well. And we trust that we will all worship our one true God and have a good time of fellowship together. I hope you received the announcements. There's a new announcement sheet for August. Being the summertime, we just do one announcement sheet during July and August. There's a few things I just want to highlight this morning. First of all, our holiday Bible club begins on Monday week. Monday the 12th, running through to Friday the 16th of August. And registration forms are available for that in solid ground. Also this year, we're having 12 hours of prayer at the end of August in two, both Clochy and here in Grey Abbey as well. And that will be on Saturday the 31st of August, running from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. What we normally do is we want to make sure that there's someone in the church at all times. So if you're available to help with that, even for an hour or whatever, please add your name to the sign-up sheets, which are in the vestibule and the welcome area as well. I would also remind folks, again, just at this time, to put a date in your diary for all those involved in our welcome teams, organisations, group leaders, session committee and so on, that we have our annual safety training, which is scheduled for Monday the 2nd of September here in Grey Abbey and Monday the 9th of September in Clochy. And you folks are asked to attend one of those things. We're covering about six different topics this time, and those are listed in the announcements. And just one other announcement I've been asked to mention is that this weekend is the Traction Engine event here in Grey Abbey. It takes place in Rosemount. And Paddy has asked for some help with marshalling if you happen to be available for that, either on the Friday evening or on the Saturday. So please speak to Paddy if you're able to help in any way. As we come to worship this morning, it's good that we're able to welcome Neil back from his holidays. And we're starting a series called Love According to John. But today's topic is about God's unfailing love to us. And we'll be taking that from 1 John chapter 4. So in terms of the call to worship, I've taken a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 22. Very familiar verses. And they read as this. And these are Jesus' words to us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. And with that in mind, let us come to praise God in our first singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Let us pray. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Heavenly Father, often we sing such beautiful words, but yet, Lord, sometimes due to their familiarity, we don't fully realize the profound truth they hold. So, Lord, at the beginning of this service, we take time to declare with all our hearts that you are indeed the one and only Holy Lord God Almighty, and acknowledge your amazing grace, your glorious power, your unrivaled authority, your greatness and goodness. We thank you that you are truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for your faithfulness and unfailing love shown to us in so many ways. But especially we thank you for the love shown through your Son, Jesus, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Lord, in the context of declaring who you are, we come to worship you with praise and adoration in our hearts. But yet, Lord, our hearts are heavy, as we so often let you down or don't always serve you in the way you fully deserve. Lord, please forgive us for allowing the pull of earthly issues to distract us from you. Father, forgive us for our foolish efforts to find purpose in positions, possessions, and people. We know that you alone are the source of our strength and the guardian of our ways. Yet, Lord, we often claim to be too busy or too weary to raise our voices in your praise, but somehow we're never too tired to do or too busy to do other things. So just now, in a moment of silence, we come individually to confess our sins to you. Lord, hear our prayers and help us to keep our eyes focused on you, so that the enticements of this world will lose their power to lure us away from your heavenly purpose for each of us. Keep us from believing that we need something more complex than your simple truth, and keep us from thinking that we can find anything more satisfying than your selfless love. Lord, as we worship you this morning, we celebrate the wonder that you, the immortal God, is present here with us. We ask that through our worship you will reveal yourself to us by your Spirit of truth. Be with Neil as he leads our service and unpacks your word from 1 John 4, helping us to see afresh your vast and unfailing love for each of us. Help us to become increasingly captivated by who you are, increasing our passion and love for you in our individual lives and in how we serve you, serve others in your name. In Jesus' name we ask all of this. Amen. And let us come to praise God again through the wonderful words of the hymn, What a Beautiful Name. And of course, this reminds us of God's love for us through his Son. Let us praise God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be back. It's lovely to be back with you. It's lovely to get away from you. But it's lovely to be back. We've had a really good summer worshiping in different places, but it's good to be home and good to be amongst our spiritual family here in Grey Abbey and earlier on in Clocky. We're going to turn to God's Word. The series that we're going to run over the next, we're going to run this over the next three Sundays. It's going to be in John, and 1 John, sorry, John's first letter. We're going to look at love, faith, and hope. Now, on the third week of that, it will be the Holiday Bible Club service here in Grey Abbey. So, for you folks in Grey Abbey, the last sermon, you'll get it online. It'll be recorded in the Clocky, and you'll be able to pick it up there. But today we're looking at love from 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. This is the Word of God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Amen. And we ask God to bless us. I was going to run a wee competition to see who could guess the right number of times that love was mentioned in that passage. You don't need to be a great Bible scholar to know that John is talking about love. It's in there and it's hidden in a couple of other words as well. But we'll look at it a little bit later on. Now we're going to continue to worship God in love as we give of our tithes and our offerings. So your offerings will now be received. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the love that you've poured out into this world in creation and creating us. The love that you've poured out in salvation through Jesus, our Saviour. And Lord, for the continual love that you pour into our lives and giving us the lives that we have, the homes that we live in, the incomes that we have. And Lord, we are truly blessed. And we thank you that we can give some of that back as you command us, so that the love that's been poured into our lives, Lord, can be poured into the lives of many other people. We know, Lord, it takes money to keep our building running, and money takes the gospel in various ways all around the world, paying for materials and people to preach and share the good news. So, Lord, we thank you that we can share in that work today, in this our offering. We give it to you, and we ask that you would be pleased to bless it from hearts that are joyful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue in our prayer now as we pray for others and pray for people and things around the world and things close and things far away. So let's all unite our hearts, let's bow our heads, and let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for this time of year, the summertime, the holiday time, when we have various times off and times off school. And Lord, this has certainly been a weather, a summer of extreme weather. Lord, we have heard that this is probably the hottest summer on record around the world. The sun is shining, it's so hot, Lord. We even see fires raging in the Arctic. And yet, Lord, we see the other side of that. We see rain coming down. And we pray, Lord, for the people of Whaley Bridge in England, who are living under not just a rain cloud, but a cloud of despair, that if a wall bursts, their homes and businesses will be flooded. And so, Lord, we pray today for all who are working there. We thank you for the skill of the helicopter pilots that we saw on TV dropping those bags down to help shore up that wall. We thank you for all the engineers and the fire service who are there. We pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe. And Lord, we do pray that indeed they would get the water levels down, get the wall shored up, and that those people's homes and businesses would be safe. Lord, there's lots of various hot weather, cold weather, wet weather, dry weather around the world, and people are struggling. And we just pray, Lord, that they would know your blessing in that. Extremes, Lord, happen not just in our weather. We see extreme behavior and extreme actions. And Lord, this morning, we just pray for the people who have been affected in Texas by the most recent gun attack in America. 20 people have lost their lives. Someone acting extremely dangerously, Lord. And we see this time and time and again, especially in America, Lord, in the culture that they have and their attitude towards firearms and guns. And we pray, Lord, for their government as they try to find ways to reduce these situations where people go out and mass shoot people around them, Lord. And just for all of the families, and for families who are reminded of maybe their family who were lost in the last attack. And Lord, we see that extreme behavior, Lord, all around the world. We see the extreme behavior of the protests in Hong Kong. We can understand why people are protesting. They are democratic. Their system is based on our system, for they once were under the system that we are under. And now, Lord, they're under a communist system, which is different. And Lord, we pray for them that they would be able to protest appropriately and safely. And Lord, that their message would get through and people would not be hurt or lives not lost. We've read this morning, Lord, in the news about extreme behavior in Belfast and the man who was killed just leaving the cemetery, leaving a funeral, and someone has stolen a car and plowed into that crowd of people, and the man has lost his life, Lord. And we just pray for his family and for everyone there. The shock of that incident, Lord, must be terrible. And we just ask that you would just speak to those people, Lord. May they know your loving arms around them at this time. We see too, Lord, extremes in politics, and we have a new prime minister who is an extreme character. He is different, Lord, from all prime ministers who have gone before him. And Lord, he has a job to do. And Lord, we believe, if we believe the scriptures, and we do believe the scriptures, that you have placed him as our prime minister. Lord, it is your will that he is there. We pray, Lord, for him in that role. You command us to pray for our government, and we pray for them, especially, Lord, with this Brexit turmoil that is going on at the moment. And we just ask, Lord, that we would get to a point where it would happen and we would get on with things. And speaking of getting on with things, Lord, we pray for our own government, local government in Stormont, that they would get round the table, that they would get back to governing, and particularly, Lord, for the health needs that we're facing and the educational crisis that we have and funding. And we just pray for people working in education and health, particularly, Lord, and the stresses that they're facing at this time. And we ask that our politicians would get around the table, Lord, and indeed get back to bringing the funds and the plans and signing off all of the things that need to be signed off, Lord, so that people who are ill and our children who need to be educated, Lord, would all be dealt with. And just be with those who are on long waiting lists at the moment, Lord, waiting to go and see what's wrong, or if they know what's wrong, waiting to get it fixed. And Lord, that takes great patience. So we pray you would pour patience out into those situations, Lord. And we have a time of the year, Lord, where our kids are off school. They're here with us today, and we thank you for them. We pray they're enjoying their holidays. We pray, Lord, that they're not too bored. We pray, Lord, that they're finding activities to do. And we pray, Lord, that they are looking forward to getting back to school, to their friends when the time comes, moving classes into new classrooms or having new teachers or indeed new schools. And Lord, we pray for parents as well at this time, occupying children and all the different needs that come when the routine of school is not there, childcare, etc., etc. All of those things, Lord, just be with all of our families that are here, Lord, and not represented today but are known to us. We pray that the summer would indeed be a time of blessing, Lord. And for those who have gone on holiday or have been on holiday, just bless them, Lord. Restore them and give them the restoration that they need. And keep all safe, Lord, at this time. Especially when the weather is good and we're surrounded by water activities, especially, Lord. And we just ask for your hand of protection. Lord, all of these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, do you want to come down to the front? And I'm going to speak to you a moment or two, and then, now I haven't checked this out, but there's pages here, and there's things we're going to take with you. Is that the way it's done? Imagine the minister asking how's things done around here.
So we've had a bit of a technical problem this morning. The headset broke as I was putting it on, so whoever was using it last broke it and left it for me. That's what's happened there. I didn't break it, honestly, Andrew. It was broke this morning, so I'm going to try and work this with my hand, and have a wee bag of stuff around here as well. So we'll probably end up not hearing me sometimes. Okie doke, Rick, I have a bag of stuff with me here today, and some of the stuff in the bag you will recognise. Other bits you might not. Right, we're all here. Okay. Who can tell me what this little thing is and what it does? Nobody? Nobody? What age are you? This is a children's address. She's just spoiled it on you. You were right. You're not getting a prize, but. No, this is a little thing, right? So if you think you've got a soft wheel in your car, no Beatties here today, they must be on holidays. Oh, there's a man that works for Beatties. He'll know what it is. I keep this in my car because I keep breaking my wheels and have to keep checking it. So there's a wee thing on the end here, and you put it on your wheel, and the air pushes this wee thing out. See how it comes out and in? See that, boys? Out and in. And that tells you how much air is in your tyre. So that's the first wee thing. What else we got here? Got a cool wee box, look. A nice wee box. We see it's on here. You're a genius. Genius. So who knows what this is? Come on. What is it?
Micrometer.
Oh, there's another spoiled sport back there, yes. This is a micrometer. Now, come on to you see. Come a wee bit closer. Right? You see the wee gap here, look? That measures things. But it measures things in very, very small amounts. Right? Now, if you listen, you listening? You click? Now, can you see that moving every time it clicks? No? Because it's moving 1/1000th of an inch. That's a very, very small amount. So if you had a piece of steel and you wanted to know how thick it was, not right, Richard?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You should know you gave it to me. He's sitting there, he doesn't know what it's for. That measures very small things. What else have we got here? Who knows what this one's for? Measure stuff. What sort of stuff do you think you'd measure with this? Heather wants me to measure my waist. Are you laughing at Terry? I think we should get a volunteer up. I think we should measure Terry's waist. Yes, this tape measures. Use this for measuring your body. Is there any ladies in here that still make clothes or do things? No, you just buy them all now. Absolutely. So you would get your arm measured if you were getting a new suit or something, measure you around your chest, your leg, and around your waist. That's for measuring people. Ooh, see now, I have another device in here. This is my favourite measuring device here. Huh? What's that for? You'll know what this is for. I bet you've seen one of these in your daddy's hands before. Yeah, was it? You can measure your height. This is like a builder's tape. So you would sort of measure, if I need a bit of wood for this table here, you would measure, builders use this, electricians use it. Use it for measuring around the place and measuring things. But it's limited. I have another one. Oopsie, this for a tape measure. Oh. Look at this one. Now here's a very special thing, this tape measure. Wait, see this, I'm going to have to put my hand out. Different way of measuring, that's for measuring big long things that are very long. Who knows what this is for measuring here? Yes. No. Don't you listen to that, so well. What does it measure? Weighing things, yes. So I'm betting there's ladies in here who use this. Hands up, ladies, have you used one of these? Yes. You weigh flour when you're doing baking. And cooking and things you weigh. We use this every day in our house. Isn't that right, love? We use it to measure the dog's food. But we use one like this. We weigh things all the time. Now, what about one of these bad boys? What's this for? Right, Terry, where are you now? Measuring different things. We can measure all our things. We can measure noise. We can measure lights. We can measure all sorts of things. Tell me this. How would you measure love? You can't. You're kind of right, you know. Trying to measure love. We can't measure love, but you know, we can feel love. There's a wee book. This is not a book for boys and girls, but I just wanted to talk to the parents as well and bigger people. We've had a number of these books called The Five Love Languages, and this tells you how different people can feel love. So there's different ways you can do it. Words of affirmation. So I can say you're looking very pretty today. Your hair's lovely. Love your t-shirt. Do you dress your daddy? No, I didn't think so. No. We can say things to people, and we can say, we really love your landfill top. Anybody else doesn't support landfill? Tough. We love your limp. We can say nice things to people. That makes people feel loved. We can do acts of service. We can do nice things. So like Barry does all the ironing at home. Is that right? Lying in church. We can do nice things for each other. And we can give each other gifts. That's the third way. The fourth way is we can spend time together. Isn't it just nice to spend time sometimes together as a family or with friends? And then there's my favourite. Who likes a big hug? Terry likes a big hug. Now Terry knows that I love him, and I know that I love Terry. That's a way that we can tell each other and express love. Tell me this. How would you measure God's love? You can't. That's 100% right. This is what the Bible tells us about God's love. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so you know how high the clouds are, right? But you can fly above those, can't you? Sometimes you're in a big plane, you can look out the window and look down at the clouds. Well, the stars are above that. We can't get to the stars. They're so far away. We could never get to them. We couldn't travel. There's not enough time to travel to them. They're so far away. God's love is even above that. So even that big long tape measure of mine couldn't get anywhere close to measuring God's love. It's a bit sad, isn't it? God's love and we can't measure it. But the Bible tells us this. This is a really cool thing about God's love. We can't measure it, but Paul says, he prays for us and everybody. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the saints, that's everybody who loves Jesus, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God. So you see, we can't measure it, but we can feel it. And we can feel it in our hearts. We can feel it whenever we're singing. We can feel it whenever we're praying. We can feel it whenever God's speaking to us. We can't touch it. We can't measure it, but it is real. God's love. And here's the cool thing about God's love. There's some things I love more than others, but there's no people that God loves more than anyone else. God loves every single one of you exactly the same. And everyone in this room. We're going to say a wee bit more about that in a minute or two. But we're going to stand and we're going to sing about God's love. And I want you to know that anytime you're ever feeling sad or feeling lonely, in Jesus you can feel God's love, so you don't need to feel sad. So let's stand, let's sing your song, and then we'll get you some colouring in to do and some things before you go back to your seats. Take it away. We are starting a new series, short one, 3 weeks, Love, Faith and Hope. And we're going to be talking about love today, and I wasn't able to check just on the way in, but we do have a number of these books, folks, that if you want to learn more about love or you're struggling with communicating that love, we have, this is the Love Languages for people who are in love together. There's Love Languages for people who are single, and there's Love Languages so you can communicate with your teenagers. You know those alien things that come into your house after they're 12? You know those? Some of them are younger than 12, but you know what I mean. So those books are there. If they're not there, give us a shout and we can get some more copies of them. Love. Huh? So the first thing we're talking about is love. Now, isn't love a wonderful thing? Love presents itself in various different ways, and we love in different ways. And I have used this illustration before, and I use it quite often at weddings, but it's a good illustration, so I'm using it again. We love different things differently. So I can stand before you and say I love Ruth, I love Jack and Archie, I love our dog, I love chocolate, and I love cars.
I love one particular type of car. You've heard me mention it before. I just checked to see how much I really love these cars. I have driven 18 cars on the road, and 14 of them have been Vauxhall. So yes, I can safely say I love Vauxhall cars. But in all of these loves, we must apply those loves differently. They're different, aren't you? You can't love your wife the way you love your dog. You can't. All right, folks? It doesn't matter how nice your dog is. The wife or the husband have to come first. That's the way it is in our house. The dog has its place. Everything has its place, doesn't it? We have to apply love appropriately. And if we're going to apply love appropriately, we must understand it correctly. So whenever we get to verse 7 today, and you want to open your Bibles, and we're going to look just at the verses 7 through to 12, not all of the passage, but I would encourage you to read 1 John whenever you get home. We're going to be looking at it over the next 3 weeks. It's only 5 chapters, and you'll read it somewhere between 15 minutes and half an hour. Familiarise yourself with it, because we'll be dipping into different bits of it. But today we're just looking at these few verses. John says to us, love one another. How we love one another varies, doesn't it? I've already touched on that. So let's set aside pets and food and material things for a moment. And let's just think about people. How I love Ruth is different from how I love Jack and Archie. It's a different type of love. I have the same love for Jack and Archie, and I apply that equally. We were just reading about Jacob and Esau the other day there, and we were talking about how they were loved differently by their parents. Each parent had a favourite. We have no favourites. We love the boys the same equally. But we all love different people differently, don't we? There's different groups of people and different types of love. So you could sort of say, well, there's the person that you love, you're in love with. You know, not you, Terry, calm down. There's that person that you're in love with, and there's your immediate family, and then there's your extended family, and then there's your friends. But there's no set way of applying love to that. It's not as if you start with the person you're in love with the strongest, best love, and then it sort of dilutes or gets weaker as it goes out. Isn't that right? Because I can tell you, there are people that I am friendly with that I love in a more special way than some of the people I'm related to. And you all know this, don't you? What's the wee saying? You can choose your friends, you're stuck with your family. Isn't that right? So all of a sudden, in a very short space of time, we've made this love a very complicated thing. I don't like the word complicated because that makes it sound too difficult. The word I want to use today is complex. And love is complex. It's multifaceted. There's different layers to it. And the world has it all mixed up. In society, there's the promotion of different types of love in different areas, and we're called to love, so we have a duty to get through these complexities and figure it out so that we understand it and so that we can tell other people about love. So to help us work through the complexity, where's the best place to start? The source of it. What does verse 7 say? Love comes from God. Now, I'm not saying here that love is part of God's character. Love is not part of God's character. God is love. It says it there, verses 8, verse 16. God is love. That word is the word that we also translate I am. So when God says, I am who I am, we could write that, but it wouldn't make sense. But to give you the sense of what it means, God, I am love. God is love. Every other part of his character, every other part of him that we read about, it all comes from love. He is love. And his love in the scriptures is called agape. Now, this is a biblical vis vas vos situation. Okay, some people call it agape, some people call it agape, and some people call it agape. Whatever one you use it. Okay, vis vas vos, whichever one you want to use, I'm going to call it agape. God's love. That is God's love for you. That is the love that God has for every human being. Every single person that God has made in his image out of love. So as God sits in heaven this morning, looking down here, us in Trinity Great Alley, he's looking down at all of the people that he has made out of love. And he loves every one of us equally. He's no favourites. His love is level across the board. The Bible uses other words for love as well, and we'll move through them here a moment or two. So we've got the first one, agape, that is God's love. The other word that the Bible uses is eros, that's romantic love. That is the love that I have for Ruth. Then there's other types of love. There is storge, it looks like storage, but it's storge. And that is family love, that's the love that I have for Jack and for Archie and for my dad and for my brother and for those close family members. And then there's another type of love. Affiliate, that is friendship love. Who do I have an example for that? Matt Walker, I love you. I love Matt with filiae love. Because we have things in common. There's things that we do together. We play music together. We go out in our cars and we've gone out. His dad's sitting with him while he's driving. My son's sitting with me while I'm driving. And we have these common interests. A friendship. Everyone in this room can feel, in part, eros, storge, and filiae. Everyone in this room is agaped. That's not a real word, but you know what I mean. Loved with God's love equally. But not everyone in this room has felt agape love. Not everyone in this room has access to agape love. Verse 7 finishes by saying, everyone he loves has been born of God and knows God. And there's a lot going on in this sentence about the process of time. So in here it says, everyone who loves God has been born of God. Now that means something has happened to them. We know what it means. They've been born again. They've been born of God, born of the Spirit. They love Jesus. They're a Christian. They're saved. But that's not a one-time kind of hit that stops. See, I can say, I was married. There was a day in history that I was married to Ruth, but I am still married to Ruth. That is continuing on. And as we give our lives to God, as we become born of God, that is something that happens in the past but continues. And this sentence tells us about this continuing relationship with God. Everyone who loves God has been born of God and knows God. That verb, knows, is written in the ongoing tense. So with this ongoing relationship with God, something has been opened up. A relationship has happened. To experience agape love, you must have had that experience. You must have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must have received the Holy Spirit, mentioned there in verse 13. We know that we live in Him and that He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit is God. It's not some other type of God, God the Spirit. God the Spirit dwells in you when you give your life to Jesus. So what does that mean? If God is love, and the Spirit is God, and the Spirit is inside you, you have, as a believer, agape, love in you. Everyone who agapes. So not only now do we experience it, but we can love with this agape love. But before we get to that, look at verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you don't know God, then you don't know love. But you might be here this morning and you're a non-believer, you're not a Christian. You're saying, well, I have a wife or a husband and I love them. I have children and I love them. I have friends and I love them. And yes, you may experience those types of love. Eros and storge and philae. But it's only a shadow. It's only a faint ripple that you're experiencing. I can tell you from my own personal experience. I fell in love with a girl called Ruth Canning. Eros took hold of me, made me a fool. And I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. And we stood in the front of her family and friends, and we got married, we exchanged vows. Eros on overload. A year into that marriage, but things changed. Things changed because I accepted Jesus into my life. I became a Christian. And all of a sudden, the eros love that I had for Ruth changed because it was now being fed by real love. The love of God, agape, changed that love. I have storge love for the boys, and I don't really know what that's like, because the boys have been brought up in a Christian environment, and they've always talked about the Lord and have an understanding, and they walk with the Lord. But I have other family members who I love and I'm very close to, and one or two of them have come to know Jesus, and I know how that love changes when agape comes into that relationship. That's why I can look at Matt and say, I love you. Not just because we're into cars, but because Matt also has agape love. He loves the Lord. You see, that agape love comes in and feeds into those other loves. Those shadows, those ripples, folks, those are nothing compared to what that love can feel like whenever the love of God is present. It feeds into, it turbocharges all of those types of love. But what I can't do, I can tell you my experience, but what I can't do is, I can't say, look, I have a wee cup of tea here. Come and take a wee taste of it till you see. It's not like going home and baking a cake and saying, here, do you want to try a wee bit of it? I can't say to you today, here's God's agape love, taste it till you see if you like it. I can't say to you, I went yesterday and bought this shirt and this pair of trousers, but I didn't just lift them off the rail. I had to try them on. I went into a room and pulled the curtain, tried them on to see if they fit it first before I committed to purchasing them. I can't say to you, try God on for a day. Take them for a test drive till you see if you like them. But what I can say to you today, if you have not experienced agape love, is look at verses 9 and 10 with me. Get your eyes onto verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love, folks. This is God's love, that he would send his Son to die for us. And it's not that we first loved God. It's not as if we were sitting pining for God. Oh God, our relationship's broke. We want this relationship. Mankind is in complete opposition to God, in rebellion to God. But God looked down at mankind who had rebelled against him, and his love sent Jesus to make the preparations for us to be with him for all eternity and to know him here on earth. And Jesus came, and he did it willingly. Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, this tells us something about love. It's not just a feeling. Jesus demonstrated it. God demonstrated it in Jesus. God has shown us his love. He loved us and sent his Son. The word loved in this passage, it's there a lot of times, and the majority of times you read the word love, it's a verb. It's an action. It's a doing thing. God poured out his love in action. God sent his Son, Jesus, who came willingly out of love to die for you, for your sin. Nothing about you is worthy of it. There's nothing in you or about you that he liked. He thought, oh, I'm going to do it for them, or them. No, God did it out of love. We don't deserve it. He offers it freely. And surely the knowledge of God's action must prompt some sort of reaction in you. Surely it must. That reaction might be to ignore it, to refuse God and say, I don't care about what you've done. But God's reaction to our reaction is even different than how we do it. Imagine you had something very valuable, something was very sentimental to you, something was worth a lot of money, and you said, well, there's someone, I'm going to give them this very special gift. I'm going to hand it over to them. I'm going to give it to them. And you take it and you look at them lovingly and you say, here's this very special thing. It's special to me. It's very precious. It's very expensive. I'm giving it to you. And they tell you, I don't want that thing. Keep it. How would you feel? How would you feel? That would damage that relationship. You would probably not offer that to them again. You probably wouldn't spend as much time with them. You might even say to them, here, run on. That's all right, I'll give it to somebody else. But every time someone refuses God's special gift, every time someone refuses it, it breaks God's heart. And it breaks God's heart because he knows there's a day coming, a day of judgment. In the rest of the passage, it talks about having confidence on that day. But God knows there's going to be people standing before him. And he's going to ask all of us this question, this one question, universal question for everyone. What did you do with Jesus? That free gift, that outpouring of love, what did you do with it? And you might be going, well, I didn't do anything with it. But hey, I did this God, I did that God. And God will say, not interested. Let's get back to question number one. What did you do with Jesus? And sadly, God will, on that day, have to send people away from his eternal presence. And he will do so with a breaking heart. I'm sure many of us in this room have spent a night or two in the Heartbreak Hotel. Huh? One or two are smiling. One or two are trying not to smile. I'm just going to be honest with you. The first time Eros entered my life, it wasn't for this woman here. She's not my first love, but she is my true love. What do you think of that one? You like that one? You can have that one, man. You can have it. You can have that one. I've been to Heartbreak Hotel. Oh, horrible place. Isn't it? And the more you love, the more the heartbreak is. Isn't that right? Come on, nod. You're all sitting there. You're not engaged with this at all. You know the crack. Now, can you imagine God's perfect love? His agape love? Can you imagine the strength of that love? We can't measure it. But can you imagine the amount of heartbreak that comes when that love is rejected and God knows it's going to be rejected for all eternity? Don't refuse God's love today. I can't give you a taste test, but this is what the Bible says. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. So what I would say to you is, here's a big plate of God's love, get stuck into it. It is good. It tastes good. It is satisfying. It is restoring. It is a great plate of grub. Get stuck into it. It's even better than the stuff that's produced by the catering team in this church. Now that, as you know, as a statement and a half. I can say get love and put it on. The Bible tells us it's a big overcoat. There's virtues that we put on as clothes. Clothe yourselves with kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness. And over all of these, put on love. It's a big overcoat. It fits everyone. It goes with every other garment that you've got. It's good for all weathers. Put it on. Bind your character. Everything that God has about you and in you, bind it all together in love. And when you've experienced it, many in this room I know have experienced God's love, accepted Jesus. You have access to that love. And when we have access to that love, it cannot remain a feeling. It must become a verb in our lives. It must stir us to action. Dear friends, since God loves us, we should really love each other. When we love each other, we are children of God. Actually, if you're going to count up the number of times that agape or love is mentioned here, you need to add two to it. In verse 11 and verse 7, it says, dear friends, if you've got a King James Bible this morning, it'll say, dearly beloved, be agaped. Be agaped together as children of God. End of chapter 2, beginning of chapter 3. Children of God, read that. Love one another. We are to love one another. Verses 15. Do not be surprised by my saying, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now, this is how we know that love, what love is. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is verse 16 of chapter 3. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Love is to be an action in our lives. The fellowship of the early church, many passages in the New Testament telling us how we should live in unity in the Spirit. How we should be living as one body with different functions and parts, but doing it all in a united way. Folks, how is that going with you as a follower of Jesus? What is your attitude like towards the people who you know are your brothers and sisters in Christ? You see, God knows that he has given us this perfect love and access to this perfect love. But he knows that we are imperfect Christians. Jesus teaches us Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. He talks about murder, but he also talks about hating your brother. He says, if you're coming to leave something as a sacrifice, don't do it if you've got something against your brother. Go and be reconciled to your brother or sister in the Lord. Folks, is there a brother and sister in the Lord with whom you need to be reconciled? Make the first move. Take that perfect agape love that God has poured into your life and be the first one to make the move. Open the floodgates and let that love flow between you and your brother and sister. It's important for you, it's important for them, it's important for other people who would be caught up in such a circumstance. But more importantly than that, it's important for the kingdom. You see, no one has seen God, but they see God in us. As we love one another, we demonstrate God's love to people who out in the world need God's love. They'll be confused by all sorts of stories about love and what love should be and could be. But it's not based on God's love. It's a mishmash. Love is all squished together. If we're going to go out there and talk to people about a special type of love and we're not acting in that love in this fellowship, then they're not going to trust us. They're not going to believe us. The love that we have between us, we must protect it. Because you see, agape love is the most special love. It's a love that's above every other type of love. And in the world, as I've said, society is mixed up. And I've just got three very quick examples in closing. There are people who genuinely struggle with their body. They look in the mirror, and it's not that they don't like what they see. They hate what they see. They look in a mirror and they don't see the image of God that God has given them. They're listening to the world telling them what their image should be. And what do they do? Well, quite often they go and they mutilate their body. They go and they get bits cut off or sucked out or implanted, or their bodies filled with chemicals that make them look younger or different. There are people genuinely looking in the mirror at a man's body, but having woman's thoughts and vice versa. What does the world tell them? Go and hack up your body and make it to be whatever you want it, whatever you want it to be. Every single person is made in the image of God out of agape love. It's a message that people need to hear. We have been told today that we don't have to love a child in the womb. It's not human. You can do away with it. And let's not be fooled by the debate that talks about fetal abnormalities and all these medical things and the danger to the mother and the danger to the baby and everywhere else that has the abortion laws that they're talking about bringing in here. The statistics are something in the 90%. 90%, when the floodgates open for abortion, 90% of abortions are because of inconvenience. It's not the right time for me. The Bible tells us different. Psalm 139. God knows every one of us. Before we were made, he saw us being knit together in our mother's wombs. He saw our unformed bodies. His days for us have been ordained before one of them came to be. We read in the Bible, think about the first time Jesus and John the Baptist met. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about when they met when he was baptized. I'm talking about the day that Mary walked in and met Elizabeth. And John and Jesus were in their mommy's bellies. And John jumped because he recognized Jesus. I've already mentioned Jacob and Esau. Those two boys were fighting even in their mother's womb. And God told them, well, that's the way they're going to be when they're born. Life is precious. Children are to be loved at the moment of conception. People are encouraged to take filial love. That love that they have, that bond of friendship can be very deep. Very, very deep. But if it starts to pour over into eros, well, that's okay. Just explore that. Even between two men or between two women, that's okay. Let that philia love just flow into romantic love. Sure, love is love. Don't panic, big man. My eros is reserved for Ruth. That's God's plan for us. Now, I'm not trying to undermine or take away the genuine struggles that people have with these things and other things. But if we read the Bible, if we believe the Bible to be true, if we believe that God's love is the best love that the world has ever, ever known, then we know that that's the answer to these problems. There's lots of testimony of people who have mutilated their bodies and they're no happier afterwards. People who thought they were doing the right thing with a fetus in the womb and they were no happy afterwards. I'm reading a book at the minute called Gay Girl, Good God. A girl who had these feelings that went into eros with another woman, and she gave her life to Jesus and she put God's agape love first, and that has transformed her life. She's happier now than she has ever been. God's love first. Fellow believer, you have felt it. You have access to it. Be motivated by it. Act on it. Share it with other people. Let's do it in the best way possible so that people with these earthly problems will have an eternal solution. And if you're here today and you don't have that eternal solution, well, all I can say to you is you are missing out. You're missing out on the best love possible. We're going to stand together now and sing about that love. It's a new song. It's a simple song to sing. It's a song based on John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So Ruth maybe has instructions. Are you just going to sing it or handing over?
Yeah.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love that God lavishes on each of us be known by us, be used in us, so that people would have fellowship with us through the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.